So each of our readings today, in lots of ways, invites us to consider the love of our God, to know the depth of who we are in His sight, that this is all about grace. This is all about God's initiative, God's action in our lives, longing for us to be able to experience this freedom. The powerful image of the Good Shepherd leads us in our gospel today. It's an image that has been evocative right across the centuries. In fact, it's one of the very first images of Jesus that were ever drawn on the walls of the catacombs. They found a statue of Jesus as the Good Shepherd that dates back to the year 60. So just 30 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, people were already beginning to sculpture and to draw images of the Good Shepherd as this way of reminding us of the tenderness of God's love. Which leads to a question. When you pray, what are the images that kind of come to mind? What are the ways that you pray? You know, do you simply pray to God? Do you just say prayers? Do you intercede through our Blessed Mother? Do you pray to Jesus? Do you pray to the Father? Do you pray to the Holy Spirit? Now, we'll do a bit of a poll of what the way people pray. Now, I've noticed that you don't like putting up your hands, but you do seem to like coughing. So if you want to indicate that you've wanting to answer one of the questions, you can cough. If it's a little thing, you can just do a little polite cough. If it's something that you wanted to be more dramatic, you can do a big So if you simply pray to God, this is a very disparate group. If you just say prayers, if you pray through Holy Mother to Mary, no putting up your hands, you've got a cough. If you pray to Jesus, and if you pray to the Father and the Holy Spirit, so it looks like the Trinity gets individual mentions. This is very good. It's interesting because, like, I was always a Jesus man. Like, I always pray to Jesus, and you know, my chapel is dominated by an image of the Sacred Heart in the middle. There's an icon of Mary above that, and then there's a crucifix, and they're kind of my primary images. But when I was on retreat last year, the Father kind of appeared and emerged as one of these significant images. And it's been a wonderful thing because obviously our liturgy is very much focused on praying to the Father through the power and of the name of Jesus and in the gift of the Holy Spirit. But this image of the Good Shepherd, as I said, has been one of those powerful, dominant themes right across the centuries. And it can be for us as well. But one of our problems, or two of our problems in using this image, is that we've tended to domesticate it. We've tended to imagine that the image of the Good Shepherd is of Jesus gathering people and keeping us all nice and safe and warm and compact together in the church. But in fact, John 10 begins with the image of Jesus leading the sheep out of the sheepfold, taking them out into the broad and good pastures, taking them to places where there are other sheep. And Jesus tells us in today's gospel that there are these other sheep. There can be only one shepherd, and that this all of us need to be pastored and tended by the Lord, which is another problem that we've, as priests, we've tended to take this title upon ourselves, and we say that we're the pastors. But no, Jesus is the only pastor. And so all of us are like sheep in comparison to the Lord. All of us need to be cared for and tended, and because all of us are like sheep in lots of ways. I mean, sheep tend to be a bit smelly. they're a bit dull, they're a bit thick, they tend to kind of wander off. They need to be gathered, they need to be brought together. They can't go astray because they will just die if they're out in the wilderness. Sheep, you never see sheep go wild. You know, sheep have to be nurtured and tended and cared for. They have to be domesticated. And so it's a good image for all of us as disciples and followers that all of us need that care of the Father. But we also need to realize that those sheep that have strayed away, it's our role and our responsibility to go to the margins and to go to places where they gather and to bring them back and to allow them to experience that tender nurturing of the Lord. And Peter tells us in our first reading why this is the case, because he's just healed in the name of Jesus this crippled man. And the people are all upset and they're kind of outraged by this. But he said, look, it's the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, that name and no other name. It's because it's the only name given to people through which any of us can be saved. So it's all about Jesus. It's all this initial impulse of Jesus calling us into this life of God. And then in our second reading, we were invited to reflect upon the Father and upon the Father's love for us. And so John begins by saying, well, consider the love that the Father has. And what's the next word? Lavished. Yeah, not given, not just begrudgingly meshed out, not just this sense of, you know, there's a kind of a drip feed and you just get one little drop of God's love at a time. So many of us, though, kind of think of God's love like that. You know, as if there's a cake and, you know, if we get a slice of cake and someone else gets a bigger slice, well, there's less cake to, you know, to go around. But in fact, in terms of the Father's love, just as a parent's love, you know, there is no limit and no measure. Although sometimes I'm pretty sure that some days you kind of think, yeah, I think that's the end of my love for today. But in the Father's love, the cake just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And if I get a certain slice, it doesn't mean that you're going to get less of a slice. That there's this a bounty of love, this love that has been lavished upon us, this powerful sense of a God who's wanting us to experience this power and this intimacy of life. You know, John is often thought of in writing in very kind of esoteric and abstract ways, and yet there can be nothing clearer in what he's saying and the way that he's inviting us into this experience of God. Because he has this vision of the future, this future glory that we're about to receive. Because he says this, we need to remember that. We need to be formed and shaped by what lies ahead of us to call us into the truth of who we can be today. Because he says, you know, what we will be in the future has not yet been revealed. But when it has been revealed, what will happen? We shall be like him. This amazing gift of God calling us and inviting us into that life. And all of this is about this sense of being the children of God. But there are two ways in which we can be children. There's the difference between patrimony and fatherhood. And so all of us by nature are children of God. So every single person born in the world shares something of that capacity for God, that possibility of being in relationship with God. And so there's a paternity. There is that sense that they are able to be in relationship to God. But that's very different. It's kind of the difference between just simple biological fatherhood and actually embracing that and living that, and a father taking on that role and taking on that responsibility. And so John is telling us, look, yes, we're all by nature the children of God, but we can take that on. We can live in that relationship, and that relationship can form and shape us and fashion us and allow us to experience that freedom, that gift of being God's children. And so that's when we actually become in that relationship, that God becomes our Father, when we allow him and when we open ourselves to him. And he's not just a very generic Father, but this most intimate sense of being our Father. And again, that whole sense of that gift of becoming like Him, of being shaped to be like God. This amazing capacity. I mean, it doesn't tell us that we will become God, but we will be like Him. We will be open to that goodness of God. We will be fashioned and shaped by the things and the ways of God. And so it's this tremendous vision that John is giving to us today, this gift of who we can be, of who we can become, if only we live as true children of God.